On March 6, 1970, scientists trained their devices on deep space and recorded the greatest single explosion of energy that had ever been measured in the deep parts of the universe. The explosion lasted 1/10 of a second. It was the equivalent of our sun's energy that is given out over 3,000 years. And they said that if the sun had had that burst of gamma radiation, that the earth would have been instantly vaporized. What an amazing explosion of power. In 1980, on May 18th, yesterday was the anniversary, another incredible natural explosion of power as Mount St. Helens blew up in volcanic eruption. It was so powerful that fir trees 150 feet high were leveled 17 miles away. Amazing. An explosion of power. You and I experienced some natural explosion of power last October, didn't we? The hurricane, the superstorm, Sandy, had an incredible amount of power, the most devastating storm that's ever hit New Jersey. And you saw and experienced some of that power. Humankind has always had a fascination with power. We like our television characters to have extra power. Think about some of your heroes on TV shows. We like to think of America as the most powerful nation in the world and as our president as the most powerful person in the world. We enjoy knowing people who have power. And there's a book out suggesting that even people who are introverts have power. The title? The Quiet Power of the Introvert. And then, of course, many of you, I'm guessing, have paid close attention to what has been happening and culminating this weekend, I think, as one article refers to six numbers that have the power to change your life. And what is it but the Powerball? There's something about power that people like. We like to think of ourselves as powerful people, at least in some small corner of the world. Today we begin a sermon series talking about the transforming power of the church, remembering that the church is not just any human organization, that the church is ordained by God, called into being by God a long time ago on the day of Pentecost, ordained by God to do God's work, and with a very distinct source of power. You see, every explosion of power, every type of power has some source, doesn't it? The source is important. Your flashlight that you needed during Hurricane Sandy had to have that power source. Many of us went looking for it, didn't we? Trying to find batteries, a power source. Your car. It's a nice car, looks great perhaps, but if you don't have gas, you don't have a source of power. And your bodies, our bodies, have the strength to do what we do only because the power source of food and water goes into them. And you know the experience when you haven't had enough to eat or drink and you become weak. It doesn't take long for your power to fade. The church, likewise, has a power source. And we celebrate and acknowledge that today as we observe the anniversary of the birthday of the church, Pentecost. The text that Laura read a moment ago is just a portion of a longer text, and indeed a portion of the book of Acts, which describes not only the birth, but the early years of the church. But on that first day, in the passage you heard read, the disciples were gathered together. Pentecost, you see, was an existing festival of Judaism. The law of Moses said that any male living within 20 miles of Jerusalem was required by law to go to the festival of Pentecost and two other of the holy festivals of Judaism. So on this particular day, there were lots of people in Jerusalem, also the disciples. It was just a few weeks after the resurrection, and these disciples didn't know what to do. They weren't clear on what God wanted them to do next, and so they were waiting. Jesus had said that God would speak to them, that God's power would come upon them, but they didn't know when or what or how, and so they waited. But on this particular day, on the celebration of the Pentecost, as they were gathered together, and that's an important word in this phrase, together, as they were gathered together, they felt something. They described it as if it was the rush of a mighty wind. And they saw what they thought looked like tongues of fire resting upon each person. And everyone was able to understand in their own language, for they spoke different languages. Some new power had come upon them. It's interesting that the word for wind in the Bible in Hebrew is ruach, the same word for breath. And we well know that even now we can't see our breath, we can't see the wind, but we see the results of the wind. We know it is there because we see the results. Well, the results of the power of God through the Holy Spirit on that day coming upon the disciples were that the disciples were transformed. Before, they had been fearful that they too would get strung up like Jesus. Now they were brave and courageous. Before, they were timid. Now they were bold. Before, they were uncertain. Now they were committed. And so from this moment on, this moment when the Spirit of God came upon the disciples and birthed the church, the disciples became the new church going out to preach and to teach and to tell the good news of the risen Christ. Indeed, the power was God's Holy Spirit. That's the power source. It was that day, and it has always been. Any time in the history of the church, when you read about people who have done things that are memorable and important and significant, be sure to know that this same Spirit of God has empowered them, from St. Augustine to St. Francis, to John Wesley, to Martin Luther King, to Mother Teresa, any of the great names of the church. These people have felt the power of God's Spirit moving them forward and empowering them to do what they did. And please be sure to know that that remains true today in this church. That the things that you and I together seek to do in ministry and mission and reaching out to people in so many ways, and you know there are so many ways, none of those things is done because of our intellect or the power of our creativity. None of those things is powered because we just happen to be smart or talented. Those things are all powered by God's Spirit. That's the power source. And we can't ever forget that, because if we do, then we start thinking that we're really pretty smart and creative people and that we're pretty good people, and you know where that path leads. Never can we think that the church is powered by its own resources. Only as its people are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do what they do, does the ministry and mission of the church move forward. This church and all churches everywhere are empowered only by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Thus, we must be ever sensitive to the moving of that Spirit, taking time in prayer and silence and meditation. And as we do indeed plan and implement our ministries, asking God's Spirit to guide us, to move among us, so that what we do is of God and not simply of ourselves. Never doubt that the power source for the church is the transforming power of God right here, right now. And that truly is something to be celebrated. Some of you know about the albatross. It's a strange bird. God created this bird with a 12-foot wingspan. And the average albatross weighs about 25 pounds. And engineers say that it doesn't have the capacity to hold itself up in flight. And that's why it is so fascinating to note that when it does fly, how it flies. You see, the albatross, first of all, maybe you've seen this on a YouTube video. It's kind of funny to watch this albatross get a running start. Most birds just kind of jump and they're up in the air. But the albatross, with wings kind of flapping and it's running along, it may go 20 yards until it finally gets up. And after just a couple of wing flaps, it begins to glide. The albatross, you see, though by engineering standards it should not be able to support its own weight, the albatross is the long-distance champion of flyers because it glides on the wind. They put a tracking device on one and found that it had traveled 9,000 miles simply gliding on the air currents at all levels. They also found that one albatross circumnavigated the globe, flew around the entire globe in 46 days doing that same thing, gliding on the wind. There's a lesson for us, my friends, because on our own, I certainly know I, and I imagine many of you, don't really feel the power to do what we have to do. Sometimes in ministry and mission, sometimes in family and work. But it is the wind of God's Holy Spirit upon which we can glide as we use that Spirit and are empowered by it to live our lives of faith and work. May you remember and always call upon God's powerful Spirit that it may empower you on your journey of life and faith.